is nurturing. It can be a sign of hope or something. So those are challenges for this weekend, places where I hope new information will come in, new experiences will come in, new ways of seeing yourself and seeing God and seeing wilderness. I just want to do a little personal introduction of myself. I guess I'm a little overwhelmed by this retreat because it's so close to home, and I probably shouldn't try to lead a retreat that is so important for me, where the issues are so important, because I kind of get lost. Sometimes I can get lost in them. The issue of you know, I'm a pastor, of course, but I came to be a pastor through wilderness. Many of you said, yeah, that's something that I know about. I don't know about the rest of the stuff, but I know about that. It's also my experience. And frankly, I still am not sure why that's the case. That's part of why this retreat is fascinating for me. I'm not sure how it is that God gets through to me in the wilderness, and how to enhance that, make it more possible, how to open my heart to that more. I have spent most of my time in urban ministry. Right now I'm a campus pastor at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia, which is a urban place. My car gets broken into about every 2.5-3 weeks. It's just a crazy place. And wilderness continues to baffle me and challenge me, even though my life is spent a lot in the city. You'll find that I'm an intellectual. I don't know if that's good or bad. I love ideas. I love to follow an idea out to a logical conclusion. And I get very excited about ideas, too, so I don't think it's that bad a characteristic. But I think what I'm most excited about is not ideas, but the possibility of knowing more deeply God's love for us, and communicating that to other people and enacting that with other people and celebrating that with other people, which keeps me being a pastor. Pastors put in a lot of time, but it's rich time, it's loving time, sometimes very surprising. And I hope I don't kind of get silly on you, you know, sort of show too much of my searching and confusion about this whole business. It really isn't a matter of the heart, you know. Meeting God in the wilderness is a matter of the heart. And if we get silly, I hope we do it together. I mean, I hope that if we come to the point where we don't really know how to talk about this anymore, and it's not working for us, or it's getting really very deep and powerful, I hope we can do that together, and it won't just be one of us or a couple of us. Because it does have the potential to be a really powerful weekend. And I'm really glad that you're here to help, because at least for me, there's a kind of authenticity about searching these kinds of things out in community, because you can sort of bounce ideas off of other people, and the message begins to get, it snowballs, it gets richer, it gets deeper. I'd like to also have both Dick and Jackie and maybe Randy talk just a little bit about your experience, what brings you here, why wilderness and meeting God are important issues for you. Maybe when each of you talk, you can sort of lead a little bit into some of the issues that are important for you, that others of you might want to explore with individuals of us as the weekend goes on, if there's anything that you want to pick up on. We're going to be here the whole weekend, so.
To give you a little sense of me and why my association with Holden Village's program, as well as this particular retreat, and this is my third. I started with Mary Shelley, who's in San Salvador now, and then last year with Jeff. And we did the follow-up backpack trip that Jeff mentioned with last year's retreat people, a few of them. And now this year, I get a great deal out of it. I'm not here, someone asked me if I was going to teach. No, I'm not going to teach. I am going to coach, and there's a big difference. a teacher has a right to assume that the student doesn't know what they have to give them. I have a right to know that you do know and do feel and do sense, even though you may not have thought about it, some of the things that we're going to share. So I'm going to coach you to bring those out of you, particularly when we do the Read the Land exercise out on the snow. And I'm really here to share my life in wilderness. I'm probably the only one in this room that is has the privilege to be paid to pursue an avocation and a vocation and what's become my place of worship, all three together. And I've had many assignments throughout what's now becoming 33 years in the Forest Service in these North Cascades. All of the wilderness from the center of the state, the Goat Rocks Wilderness, to the Canadian border, I've been associated with the studies, with drawing the boundaries, passing the legislation. So in the sense of legal and classified wilderness, that's been a privilege and an assignment. But wilderness is really where you find it. And whether Congress dignifies it by classification or not. And for me, as I pursued my career, I literally raised my family in wilderness, in a wilderness experience. Every summer, they never went to Disneyland. They never went on vacation. We went backpacking. And as a part of my assignments, I shared that with my family because it's such a marvelous place to raise children, to teach responsibility, to teach sensitivity to themselves, to each other, to their surroundings, to understand, as I'll coach from you, the fact that we are a part of the ecosystem and we are not apart from it. I was raised Catholic in a very devout Catholic home. Don't attend church because I really found my church now in those mountains. And that's why I say that, you know, I'm paid to be in my place of worship. And I really mean that. It's why I feel I fit in the both category, because, you know, if any of us can say we met God, and I don't know that we can, but if you become as constant a visitor, and you really always are a visitor in wilderness, or resident for a long time as I've been, I don't know how you could ever not feel you hadn't met God. If you really learn to read the land and what's around you and realize the wonder of creation and the product of creation and our place in it. And so that's why I said I'd share why I think I belong there. So this short 4 days, you know, I hope we do become family. We did the last two retreats, and there's no reason why we won't this time. With some lingering associations, it turns out, in the case of the first two, I want to share with you some insights and to draw from you some insights. What's happened in the first two retreats, I've now shared in over 150 Forest Service units that I visited in the last 16 months. One of the things we do to find ourselves out in the wilderness, I use that same exercise now with Forest Service people in their workplace. And so I've had great personal value and been able to share well beyond the circle of the retreat and the attendees. So I hope you take advantage of approaching all of us that are facilitating with you the special nature of this particular weekend. And we'll find some quiet time to share. I'd like to do that on a personal basis as well as a group basis.
This will be the third wilderness retreat that I've been at. Tells you how long I've been in Holden. And I think you're in for a real privilege to have both Jeff and Dick together. They complement each other really well, and my own experience, I guess Jeff wanted me to say a little bit about community. has really served as a wilderness for me, not only because Holden here is literally in a wilderness, but it forces one to go into their own wilderness internally. And although Holden probably in some ways falls very short of being a community, I know that some of the experiences that we have here together trying to be somewhat of a community, although it's very transitional and people come and go all the time, the fact that we are in this remote setting lends us to sort of a wilderness feeling a lot. And I know coming here that many of the distractions that the other world gives us, or I don't know if it's a gift or not, but the ability to, you know, have some technology or shopping mall or something that can interrupt whatever we might be trying to avoid or not look at, suddenly become monsters here when we come into the community. And things that we didn't have to maybe face because we could go shopping or we could go turn on the television or get on the telephone or open the refrigerator or whatever just we could distract from isn't possible here. And because we're forced to constantly relate, and if I have a disagreement with Randy today on the job, I'm going to have to sit by him at dinner tonight, and I'm going to have to worship with him at the end of the day. And I'm forced in some ways to continue that process. And sometimes that's very difficult. And yet, because we are or strive to be a spiritual community, or to maybe offer what some of the wilderness offers us, we can do that in a spirit of love and grace. And I think the wilderness can be very graceful to us as well, if we learn how to live with it rather than against it. And so sometimes we're able to embrace those monsters here because everybody else draws them out of us and laughs at them and seems to kind of put a spotlight on them in a way that helps us celebrate them. And they no longer become monsters, but part of our being and part of our own creation. And that's been a real gift. And it's bittersweet sometimes to do that. But I like the evolution and the ongoing way that happens. And being able to come together and worship, I think you'll find to be a real gift of this weekend. And my own kind of background, I was raised on a farm in Minnesota, in a small town of about 1,000 people. And professionally, have worked really mostly counseling in the area of addictions, and really like that field because of the spiritual dimension that people have the opportunity to look at in sort of recovering from that. And I think those kind of 12-step groups that have sprung from Alcoholics Anonymous are their own community as well. And I guess added to that right now is a very recent experience of traveling about 5 weeks in the third world in Africa and India, working with Mother Teresa's group, the Missionaries of Charity, experiencing the whole third world as a wilderness that we in the West need to honor and respect and experience in another kind of way. So I'm excited for the contribution this weekend can make to helping me to integrate all of those life experiences.
Do you want to say anything, Randy? Or
I can. Do we have time?
Yeah.
First of all, I didn't realize we had another disagreement today. I missed that one. I'll just say that, well, my background has been, I was raised in Southern California, Los Angeles specifically. Kind of an interesting place for me to be growing up, though, and I've always wondered
why there, but I've always had a passion for wilderness. I was raised with parents who were both involved in camping ministry from the time I was a baby, and had the good fortune to have a lot of exposure to wilderness from the beginning. And that passion just kind of grew. I really lived for two things, basically sports and getting up to the Sierras and out to the desert. And for 16 years was down there, and when my dad got a call to come up here and start up the what was then called the Tri-Conference Camping Association of Puget Sound, which was part of the three major synods of the Lutheran Church in the Pacific Northwest, I thought I was finally going to God's country, getting out of the L.A. Anyway, got up here and got very much involved in climbing, and have found, again, even deeper passion for wilderness at the extremes, and finding the more challenging the experience was, the more positive in some way. And I've been struggling with what all that means ever since, and questioning why wilderness is such an interesting place, such a place of healing, a place of challenge, a place of growth, a place that stimulates so much. And part of my journey has also been of late getting interested in Eastern mysticism, trying to break free of some of the Western intellectualization bonds that most of us are bound by, trying to discover some of the inner workings that bring so much richness through wilderness experience. And I like what you said, Jackie, about the inner journey being one of wilderness in itself, that the struggle that happens within is very much a wilderness experience, wherever we are. Mm-hmm. And, anyway, I'm still exploring, and I'm just getting to a place now where I'm really interested in exploring that a lot with other people, and I can work in a group or corporate type of setting.
Great. Jeff, let me just add something. I'd forgotten you asked me to share the name I have for the special places in the wilderness and that I seek, and I call it the High Lonesome. And lonesome indeed has a lot of connotations to us. For me, it's a very positive relationship with myself and my surroundings, which kind of commingle when I find those high lonesome places, and that may help you know feel what I feel when I'm in those mountains. But another individual said all this really very well, and is almost a theme for me of what this retreat is. Has become. Let me read you a very short passage from Sigurd Olsen, probably a good Lutheran and certainly a longtime resident of the Minnesota country. But he says it so well, and this was early in the great struggle in this country to truly protect and establish a system of preserved wilderness, which surrounds us here, by the way. The intangible values of wilderness are what really matter. The opportunity of knowing again what simplicity really means. The importance of the natural and the sense of oneness with the earth that inevitably comes within it. These are spiritual values. They are, in the last analysis, the reasons for its preservation.
I hope we'll have an opportunity to hear a lot of inspiring stuff this weekend. Let me just give you I'd like to very quickly, just from here on in, do some orientation and then break you into small groups for a little bit of work. And then we'll be done for this afternoon. We'll meet again this evening. I just want to say how the weekend is designed. Since Dick and I did it last year, we're working with a little bit of experience. What I'm going to be doing tonight and tomorrow morning especially is some of the struggle that I've been trying to work on trying to understand a number of difficult issues around this issue of meeting God in the wilderness. Issues about who we are as we try to do this sort of thing. I mean, how do we actually experience, how do we open ourselves up to something which we call God? Issues of tradition, how the tradition has taught us we can do that or can't do that, what some of the expectations of the tradition are. Maybe some stuff from other traditions, as Randy was talking about. I mean, all of these things are going to arise as we talk about meeting God. How is it that we know if we have a powerful experience, whether it's meeting God or whether it's indigestion or, you know, menstrual period, you know, something physical that's just happening, happens to be happening at a time when we're open or vulnerable. And then the whole idea of wilderness, as you heard Jackie talk about it, she was using wilderness metaphorically, the wilderness of community. And that's pretty typical of our understanding of wilderness. As Dick said, that wilderness is where you find it, is that how it went? Wilderness is where you find it. So you can be in the middle of a very beautiful thing, be totally self-absorbed, so that nothing is going on. Just totally tied up with your own problems. In fact, I would argue that that's the case with a lot of our ancestors because they had such a hard time just simply living. And I'd argue that if I take you and put you about a half a mile or a mile up the valley with inadequate clothing at about 10 o'clock tonight, you would not see the beauty of the moon rising over the hills and the wonder of the river flowing down in the silence. You'll be frantic and angry and afraid that you'll die, and you'll see none of that stuff. So it's very intriguing to just think about the whole spiritual quest on the one hand and the role of wilderness on the other hand. Some people would say that it's in fact that confrontation of the self in its self-absorption by wilderness, which is totally other, which is totally sort of unaware of you as a human organism trying to survive, which provides a powerful experience of God. I don't know. These are things that we'll be kicking around. But I want to talk about some of the theory that I've scarfed up over the past weeks as I've prepared for this tonight and tomorrow morning. And then we're going to start to shift gears, in fact, very quickly, tomorrow morning. And if you have your syllabus, you might want to look at it. I've set us up for four periods, which I call into wilderness. These are times when I want you to go out into the surrounding area. And we'll talk a little bit about options for getting out of the village. But to spend some time out there by yourself. We could, of course, go out into the wilderness as a group, but what would happen if we do that is that there would be a lot of distracting things going on between us. A lot of what happens in the search, spiritual quest, is that you have to do this severance that I talked about. You have to cut off from all of the things, all of the responsibilities, all of the ideas, so that you become more receptive. So, into wilderness experiences that we have listed for this weekend are four. Three of them are times to just go by yourself and be quiet. And the fourth one is a time when we're going to go with Dick learn to read the land. So tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, after we have a session in the morning, we're going to go out. And again, in the afternoon, there's an opportunity to go out if it's working for you. If it's not working for you, you may want to do something else around the village or just explore some of the things that Jackie was talking about in terms of wilderness in a community. And there's also other things that you can do tomorrow afternoon, like a mine hike or crafts or meeting in triads, which I'll talk about in a second. And then as time goes on, starting Saturday afternoon, I also have assigned you small responsibilities as triads. I've broken the group of 19 people who are taking wilderness this meeting God in the Wilderness retreat, broken you down into groups of three. And as you look on your syllabus, actually on the back side, you have the listings of who's in what group. And I'll talk a little bit more about the various events that I've asked you to get involved in as the week goes on, weekend goes on. My hope is that with a big block of information from me at the beginning, and then a break with you going out and experiencing wilderness, that you will begin to become the program, that your insights and searchings and struggles and ideas will begin to feed into the group process, and then we'll reach a kind of balance where the learning, the teaching will be balanced by the experiences and the talking. And as time goes on, and the only other time that I'm going to talk then is on Monday morning, just before we break. I want to gather up our thoughts and realizations together and see where we are at that point in a session called Staying Wild, Staying Holy. So, does everybody, I have a couple of just basic nitty-gritty questions. Does everybody have something with which they can travel in snow? I mean, skis, snowshoes. Is there anybody that didn't bring some way of staying on top of snow? We may have to pull you along in a sled or something. Don't have. Okay, so everybody has. Does everybody have skis? I think Kevin, you have snowshoes, don't you?
Yeah, snowshoes.
Okay. Well, that'll be fun as long as you don't walk on our ski tracks.
Okay.
You have to walk to the side. Okay, so everybody has skis. I don't know, Jackie. Did you send anything out to folks about Enselite pads?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow! What a woman. You are great.
Gosh.
She is great.
Fun.
Yeah. So, do we have Enselite pads? Most people do. If you don't, I have six or eight of them in the corner of the hotel up there where we eat supper, and you can get one there. The idea of the Enselite pads, I suppose, maybe you told people about it, but is a place to sit on top of the snow when you're out there so that you don't get cold or wet. And if you've never made a platform with skis, what you do is you have to stand down a whole lot of snow with your skis because it's going to be deep, and then you set down your Enselite pad, because if you just put it on top of the snow, you'll sink in and a lot of loose snow will come over the edge. But you'll need your skis and Enselite pad tomorrow, because we're going to go out at 11 o'clock, and it would be helpful if you would dress for the occasion. Have your boots on. Have whatever you, gaiters or whatever. We can take about 5 minutes to get yourself situated or ready to go, but it would be better to only have to use 5 minutes than to have to go back and change at that point. So do that on Saturday, and also Sunday morning, dress for the outdoors the same way, because we're going to be going with Dick Sunday morning at 10:30 for the Reading the Land, which will be right after brunch on Sunday morning. So both Saturday and Sunday, you need to be dressed, and you don't need the Enselite pads for Sunday morning, but then Sunday afternoon, if you're going to go out and you have your final opportunity on Sunday afternoon to really sit and let the wilderness come in to your heart, so you'd need your pad for Sunday afternoon. The other thing is that I don't know if people here have led worship before, or whether any of you have gifts, musical talents, or anything like that, but we are going to be leading worship, or at least assisting in leading worship, on Saturday night, tomorrow night. If you have your sheet, it's at 6:45, and I've asked the Bonanza Triad to be involved in assisting on worship. But before we get to the Bonanza Triad and that responsibility, if there's anybody who has a gift, I know that Don can do some dancing, and maybe there's somebody who can play piano or can do poetry, if you can write poetry, if there are certain songs that you would like to sing or which could express something about wilderness, I'd really like for you to be involved in giving back to Holden, even as Holden offers things to you. They'll be feeding you, but maybe we can give something back to them as a group. And Bonanza Triad, which on the back here is Kathy, Randy, and John L., will be in charge of that. But if there's anybody who has any ideas or suggestions, it would be great if you could offer them to Bonanza so that Bonanza has more stuff to work with. Bonanza, if you want me to do something, you should talk to me. And I've talked to Carol about assisting as well. So, and the other triads, why don't I just go down the list and talk to you about the things that I was hoping you'd be able to do. Let me just tell you the name. If you don't have this the list on the back here, Patty and Grant and Amy are in Maud. These names, by the way, are mountains, which are in the valley or near the valley. So Maud is Patricia, Grant, and Amy. Buckskin is Dottie, Liz, Todd, and George. Copper is Bill, Nancy, and Laurie. Dumbbell is Kevin, Dawn, and Ruth. Bonanza is Kathy, Randy, and John L. And Furno is Bob, John S., and Christine. And this is what I have down for your responsibilities or your sharings. On Saturday at 6 o'clock, Maud to be reflecting on solo wilderness. In other words, what happened that afternoon, the first morning and afternoon, you'll have opportunities to go out into the wilderness. This may not work. I mean, it may just totally elude your grasp. It may totally elude all of our grasp. It may make no sense at all. It may, in fact, bring the second coming. We don't know what's going to happen when you go out there and sit down quietly for a while. Maybe just like when you look out your kitchen window and you know see the birds out there and it's pretty. Or it may be a powerful thing or it may be a confusing thing. I don't know. And you don't know yet either. I'm hoping that at 6 o'clock, right after supper on Saturday, Maud can give us some feedback on what's happening in their group. And I also hope that Maud will get together and sort of talk about ideas for making the retreat maybe more helpful or more pointed or more to their fulfilling their needs. That's Maud's responsibility and assignment. And I'm hoping that you'll get together sometime between now and then, Saturday at 6, to give us a little bit of your own vision of what's happening in terms of meeting God in the wilderness. Now, Bonanza has a big one with Vespers that evening at 6:45. Frankly, as far as I'm concerned, you could wing it. I think you could stand up. I know I've been to enough Holden Vespers. You can stand up and talk about what's happening in your heart, and it's very powerful. You don't have to have a Bible passage. You can use this Bible passage, you know, about going out into a lonely place and talk about the loneliness that you felt. Or about how remarkable it is that Jesus could be lonely or need solitude or something like that. And if you want me to, I could meet with you and help you pull that together. But again, if there's anybody who has any ideas for a Vespers and you're not on the Bonanza Triad, please get in touch with one of them. Dumble Triad will be doing more insights on solo wilderness at 12 o'clock noon on Sunday before the afternoon comes up. And I also have a handout to give to people in the afternoon. It's a sort of, I'm going to put inside of an envelope a reading that's an explosive reading. And so you can't open it until you get out there and it will explode on you. But I'd like Dumbbell to lead us into that a little bit with their own experiences or suggestions. Again, sort of reflections. It's noon on Sunday. 5:30 on Sunday, again, reflections and feedback on the day or the weekend. Copper Triad is what I'd like you to do. That's, again, sort of in the same genre, but you'll have to be creative because, you know, we'll have had two of those already, so come up with a new idea, perhaps. Buckskin, I want to work with Dick, On the evening activity on Sunday evening at 8:45, last year we had a bonfire out here and the wind blew and nobody could hear anything and sparks flew and it was kind of wonderful, but maybe not the best. You folks can get together with Dick and decide what it is that you'd like to do. You maybe just want to have a little fire over in Chalet 1 and tell stories or read stories. And you can use the rest of us too if you want to. And then finally, Ferno Triad on Monday at 10 o'clock. I want you to think of some way that we can close our time off. Some way of celebrating what we've been through. Some way of praying, giving thanks. As some way of taking a photograph of all of us. So that's your little assignment. You have a half an hour to play with there. And again, work with any of us on the staff here or at the village to pull that together. A couple of other details and then we're done. Jackie and I are going to be available for conversation. This is sort of like spiritual direction or just if you want to explore some stuff with one other person and you want to talk to me or Jackie. Jackie's going to be available Sunday afternoon. I'll be available both Saturday and Sunday afternoon. And I have a sign-up sheet here, which I'll pass around tomorrow, and then it'll be out on the bulletin board out there. Times from 1:30 to 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, and then on Sunday, times from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock. Make use of the people around here. I mean, one of the ways that you learn about difficult things is asking other people. It's not that people are experts on it, but together you can sometimes learn about things that you didn't know you knew. Does anybody have any questions about the weekend or about the schedule or anything else so far? No questions. Okay. It's a little bit after 4:30. I'd like to close with a prayer, and then I'd like you to break up into your triads for about 10 or 15 minutes, just enough time for you to feel as a triad that you're starting to get to know each other. You have a sense of what you want to do and maybe plot out how you'll accomplish whatever it is that is your little gift to the community here. So let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. God, you are the one that dwells in the middle of the storm, in the earthquake and the fire. You are wild and powerful beyond us, and there is no wilderness that can hold the bounds of your glory. Yet you are the one who has spoken to us and who has told us your love for us and have embraced us at various points in our lives and kept us from harm. We give thanks for you, O Lord, and for this time which you have given us, and this place which you have given us, and especially for each other, which you have given us to explore as a wilderness this weekend. We pray that you will come to meet us and not leave us alone and not abandon us, but prepare our hearts and our minds for your coming. Grant that we may indeed see and behold your glory and your beauty. Quiet our busy minds and help us to leave the civilized world behind for a few days as you lead us on this journey to this meeting. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.